Okay. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Okay, the free talk continues. Some of you may be disappointed. I didn't come here to listen to you talk like that. Well, I apologize. I hope you got something.
Yeah.
Huh? I hope you got something. Well, just now we have that verse on our youth being renewed as eagle. Of course, that should trigger your memory on Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength. The word renew. You know, dear saints, we're not getting old. We're getting renewed.
Amen.
Renew means we do get old, right? We do get old. But we're also constantly having to counteract that aging, that getting old, that becoming decrepit, that corrupting trend, right? And we do have that life, and that is the Lord himself within us as our eternal life, to counteract that, absolutely, by a process called renewing. So yes, I'm getting old, but I'm also getting renewed day by day. So which one is faster? Well, that depends on how you are, whether you exercise your spirit, whether you're one with the Lord, whether you touch and experience, eat and drink this life, the tree, the water, or you don't. Then the aging will take over. But when you are enjoying all these, the very evergreen God himself, I'll tell you, you will be renewed, becoming younger and younger. And here it says, those who wait on Jehovah, to wait on Jehovah simply means that we don't care for ourselves, we stop ourselves, we don't trust in ourselves, we constantly in our this organic union with the Lord are waiting on him. In all our living, all our activities in our daily life, we are here just to receive the Lord and not trust in ourselves, not live by ourselves, but to live by this other person, this eternal life, to be our very replacement, right? To replace all the oneness, to replace all the death, replace all the dying. You know, it talks about the church in Sardis, remember in Revelation? You have a name that you are alive, but actually you are dead. And even what you have, you know, what little remaining that you have, even that is dying. Nothing is complete with you. So Sardis got a real problem. And so the call from the Spirit is to overcome death. To overcome death. The only way that we can overcome death is by a life called resurrection, which is this eternal life. So the more we live by this life, the more we enjoy Christ as our life, all these death and these deathly element within us will be consumed, will be replaced, will be terminated. And such a person, which we all can be such a person who wait on the Lord will be renewed. We just will be renewed and strengthened to such an extent, dear brothers and sisters, that we will mount up with wings like eagle. We won't be even walking. We won't be jogging. Definitely not limping, right? We will actually be flying and soaring You know, it's wonderful to see older saints soar. Amen? You look at them, they're old, but when they open their mouth, they're flying. They're just soaring with another life. This person has been waiting on Jehovah, and so he goes on from strength to strength, and he's being renewed all the time. This can happen to us. All these things about reversing aging, don't trust those, don't believe those pills, you know. What are the crazy stuff they try to sell you? This is what you need. Take this pill, okay? It's called the Tree of Life pill, all right? Drink this. It's called what? The water of life beverage, right? And even the leaves of this tree is good for healing. You know, I'm here speaking with quite a painful left shoulder right now. And what am I doing here? Well, I'm flying here. Amen. I'm soaring here. Amen. Because of this life within us. The more I pay attention to the pain, the more painful I become. The more I look at Jesus, the more I wait on Him, the more I love Him, contact Him, enjoy Him, I tell you, the more I am just filled with joy. And what is joy? That's the real medicine. Right? What does it say? Huh? Joy is what? Well, in the Word. Huh? Yeah. The medicine that an old person needs is actually joy. Happiness. Am I right? Of mirth, of just delight and pleasure. We can live such a life. We can age in that way. We can. We don't have to become unhappy and hopeless and in despair and you know, depressed, basically. We can live another kind of life. Dear saints, we can. We really can, because the source is within us. Now, I'm going to drive home more of this with you, right? So, it was only yesterday, I was still thinking about today, and then it came to me a contrast. In contrast to this, what we have, what the people in the world, unsaved, unregenerated person, have no choice but to have such a fate. The fate of what? The fate of getting old, the fate of dying. You know, the brother quote the verse about regeneration. We have hope and of something that is incorruptible, right? Something that will never corrupt, something that will never get old. So I remember, this is not it's still the gospel, but this is the depressing part of the gospel. But we need the contrast. Ecclesiastes, do you remember the book on vanity? You know, vanity, that's also a wonderful gospel song. Vanity. And in chapter 12, which is the last chapter, I think, of Ecclesiastes, there's a very, very sad portrait of one old age. Very sad. In figurative form, metaphorically, all right? So here, you have this. Before the sun and the light, this is describing a person getting old. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the men of strength bow themselves and the women who grind cease because they are few, I'm going to interpret that, And those who look out of the window see dimly. And when the doors are shut on the street, and when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low, when all men are afraid of what is high, and terrors are on the way, and the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper is a burden, and the caper berry is ineffective, before the silver cord is undone, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, and the wheel is broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. This is an apt description of someone without the eternal life. That's the only thing they can look forward to. No choice. So here's the interpretation. In man's old age, you go back and study, right? In man's old age, the bright environment with the three lights created by God, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the artificial lights made by man, becomes gloomy. It's a footnote. And the pleasant atmosphere of the clear sky is cloudy. Things getting cloudy. The hands, that means the keepers of the house, man's body, tremble, right? You get old, you start trembling. The loins, the men of strength, are bent. That means like this. I have to go to do PT now because of my situation. The first thing that the guy said to work on me is your posture. You have this problem because of a lifetime of bad posture, you know? And the older you get, the more I'm like this. I didn't know I was like this until they told me. Then I started looking at my old pictures. I was like this. Then they said, you have to... It aches. It's hard. And I couldn't do it. Now with a lot of exercises, home exercises, taping me and do all kinds of things, and I constantly remind myself I have to stand like this and not stand like this. But nevertheless, the day will come, no matter how I do this, I will still be like that. That means the loins are bent. The teeth, the woman who grind, become few. Is that true? Losing the teeth. The eyes, that means those who look out the windows, become dim. And the ears become dull to the sound, like me. I have to wear hearing aids, otherwise I cannot hear anything. One awakens early in the morning. That's that means you sleep less, you know. When you get old, you sleep less. The vocal cords, the daughters of song, become low, you know. People can hear you. One is afraid of what is high. That's sign of an old person, and is terrified while walking. Sometimes I feel that way. The hair becomes white. That's the almond tree's blossoms. Don't think that is a good thing. It's getting white. And one is unable to bear any burden, that's for sure. You know, I have to fill out forms, you know. Can you move? Can you pick up a bag of groceries? Yes. Can you take your groceries and take it up to your, above your shoulder? Not so sure. Even a burden as small as a grasshopper is a big burden. No medicine can keep the old man away from death. That is the caper berry. And mourners attend his funeral. The corpse, this is not so good sounding. The spinal cord, the silver cord. The head, the golden bowl. The lungs, the pitcher. And the heart, the wheel, decays. The body, made of dust, returned to the earth. And the breath returns to God who gave it. That means the entire human being with his human life apart from God is nothing but vanity of vanity. That's the only thing. People have no choice. I don't care how famous you are. you know, in the 80s you were Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so. Now, time has caught up with you. The same thing will happen. And then after this, he says, the end of the matter, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Now, dear brothers and sisters, this is the situation. Now, the other thing that came to me is something so lovely, and that is the three Psalms of 90, 91, and 92. All right? Those three Psalms. Special Psalms. And I really want to give that to you as an assignment, all right, between now and our next conference. Get into these three Psalms. A few years ago, I turned 70 during the pandemic. And in Psalm, I remember Psalm 90, because in Psalm 90, which is the Psalm of Moses, the man who lived until 120. 120. The man who started to carry out God's commission when he was 80. All right? 80. This man used the first part of Psalm 90 to talk about the vanity, the brevity, the frailty of the human being. You return man to the dust. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by like a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with rain flood, as they are in a sleep in the morning. They are like grass that comes up anew in the morning. It flourishes, sure, when you're new and young, and come up anew in the evening. It is cut down and it dries up. For we have been consumed by your anger, Moses said, and by your wrath we have been troubled. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. Listen, for all our days have passed away. In your overflowing wrath we bring our years to the end like a sigh. Verse 10, the days of your years are 70 years. Or if because of strength, 80 years. But their pride is labor and sorrow. 80, 70, 80. My father who just passed away, 99. My brother, 102. But it is soon gone. And we fly away. Then Moses said, teach us then to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is not just a word for young people. I tell young people all the time, start numbering your days, all right? Not years, days. But this is also a word for us who are 70, who are 80. I love this verse. Number my days. That means keep an account. It's like your calendar. You just keep doing that. You know it's less and less and less. And that's why Paul says, redeem your time. Redeem the time. No one can add more time to your life. But we surely can waste the time and lose them. So to redeem the time is not to add years to your life. It is to stop wasting the time that God has given to you and I. And as long as we live, even in our old age, this breath, these days, God has still preserved for us. And as long as that is the case, we need to keep numbering our days. That means don't waste the time. Even we old people, oh, it's retirement, I've been there, done that, I pay my dues, it's time for me to go to cruises and whatever, to do nothing. Number our days, you know, old people, you know, what do they typically do? They watch TV, they watch Netflix, Korean dramas. Oh, their Facebook page, their Instagrams, the photos. Oh, if they don't watch that, they watch their kids, I mean their grandkids. Or they watch the sky. No. I'm not saying these things are evil. That's not my point. The point is number our days. We have less days now than the young person. That we have to say. And so our days are more to be treasured. Our days are more dear. Our days are more valuable. I feel this way. And so at age 20, in my own birthday, I give myself a gift. A gift to myself, and that is this psalm. I asked my daughter, who's a graphic designer, to design this well. And I frame it, and I just put it right behind me, right behind me, so I can look at it all the time, this psalm. And so now I'm almost midpoint between 70 and 80. So it says here, what? 70 years, you're doing great. 80 years, whoa. Just remember that. Remember that. Then don't waste the time. Then after he said this, he said, "Return, O Jehovah, how long? And repent concerning your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may give a ringing shout and rejoice all our days. Cause us to rejoice according to the days that you have afflicted us." You know, the more when you get old, the more you look back, our days are really days of affliction. Aren't they? Days of labor and sorrow. And now it's time to fly away. According to the years that we have seen evil, let your work appear to your servants and your splendor to their children, and let the favor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Indeed, the work of our hands, establish it. You know, this psalm in the very beginning, in verse 1, is the highlight, the key verse. O Lord, this Moses, possibly when he was 120. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. So this is my burden, brothers and sisters. What is to not waste time? How do we not squander the remaining days that the Lord has afforded us in his mercy and sovereignty? There's only one way. There's only one way, and that is to live in God. To take him as your dwelling place. Yes, on the one hand, in Psalm 36 and Psalms like that talks about drinking the river. That's what we covered in the last session. The rivers of God's pleasures and eating the fatness of God's house. This is to eat and drink the Lord daily. That's for sure something we have to do, right? To enjoy this eternal life, this never-aging life in all its riches. But according to Moses here, he was the lawgiver. Moses was the lawgiver. But he said this, you have been our dwelling place. Brothers and sisters, the way is to dwell in this eternal God, is to dwell in the eternal triune God as our Lord. What is to dwell in God? What is to dwell in God is to have our living in Him, taking God as our everything. You know, you give me a house, a nice house to live in. I go in there. There's nothing in there. No bed, no furniture, no food. Here it is. I don't want to live in that house, right? So when I live in this home, this place I call my home, is a place not just for me to crash, for me to lay down. This is the place where I can enjoy everything. So to live in God, to abide in Him, is to take Him as our everything. The older, dear saints, we get physically, and actually the more advanced we are in the spiritual growth, in the spiritual life, you know, it should be the simpler we become with the Lord, with God. You just take the Lord. You know, today we have to fly up here on the almost empty plane from John Wayne Airport to San Jose here. You know, just like, I've been on this for, I'm A-list three times, you know what I mean? Just like this. But before I get on the plane, I still say, Lord, take care of this plane. Take care of the pilot, you know, especially with what's happening recently a lot. Take care of that traffic controller, okay? Lord, you are my real plane. This plane is not the real thing. You are my plane. You're my dwelling place. You're my protection. You're my safety, you're my security. This is it. This is how simple it gets to enjoy God, to live in God. And Brother Lee said, this is deeper than eating and drinking Him, to live in Him, to abide in God. When I was younger, I loved to speak great messages and points and all that stuff. But it seems the older I get and I watch older saints, they're just so simple. So simple. You know, you go to them with this profound question, expecting a profound answer, and never comes. It's just simple. Just love the Lord. I said, come on, I know that, you don't need to tell me that. So simple. Or just trust in the Lord. I said, that's such a, what? Cop out, you know? Everything is trust the Lord. No, from Moses' mouth, it's not a cop out. It's his experience. After so many years, it's just God. It's just living in Him, dwelling in Him as my habitation, an eternal dwelling place. This happens to be the highest and fullest experience of God. So these three Psalms, no, okay, these from 90 to 93, 2 forms a set of the saints' deeper experiences of God in their identification with Christ, because in these Psalms, there's prefigures of Christ, prophecies of Christ there. And this psalmist who write these psalms are actually what identifying themselves with the Christ to come. Eventually, our experience of living in God and dwelling in God paves the way, listen, paves the way for Christ to come to possess the earth, that God may recover his title and right over the earth. You know, that means the coming of his kingdom. In a way, brothers and sisters, to be an overcomer is not that complex. It's not that complicated. It's not that, you know what I mean, not in that way. It's to take the Lord as your dwelling place day by day in a real way. And when we live in God, it is when we dwell in God as our dwelling place, we realize the brevity and shortage of the span of our life on the earth, and the life is just full of sins and afflictions. And so, what would that cause us to do when we have that realization of the vanity of life? This will cause us to realize, man, I need to just live in him. Live in this eternal life. That's not an escapist. That's not someone who didn't make it in the world, so they have to do this stuff. No, no. This is a word of wisdom. This is Moses speaking. We need to dwell in God, brothers and sisters, older saints, all of us, living in him every minute. Outside of him, there's just sins and afflictions. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Only in him we can have what? Righteousness. We can have peace. And it is when we are identified with Christ by taking God as our dwelling place, our habitation, that we dwell in this, what? Secret place of the Most High and abiding in his shadow under his eagle wings. This, brothers and sisters, this abiding in God is the genuine oneness between God and man. In this situation, we are being constituted with God. We and God become united, become mingled, become truly incorporated. That means not only we dwell in him, but he would also dwell in us as his dwelling place. Dear saints, this simple life is a life that is truly carefree. Now, in Psalm 91, which I don't get into, it talks about Christ taking God as his habitation. Look, the Lord Jesus, his whole life, sorrow and affliction, ending in death. But his whole life, little did we know, even the disciples didn't know, he was taking God as his habitation. Even Jesus, the God-man, could not have endured that life that he lived without the Father as his dwelling place. So today we need to join Christ, be one with Christ, to do the same. I don't have the time now. It's already 12:30. But I think I have a few more minutes, huh? I told you I'm going to talk about trees, which is not developed in the outline, but it's there. So C and D. All right. I'm going to talk about trees because we're all going to become those trees. Those trees are Christ, but those trees should be us as well. Or we should be those trees as well. Evergreen and planted in the courts of the Lord. Okay, Psalm 52, verse 8. Okay, this is Psalm 52, verse 8. I'm going to read that to you. But I, the psalmist said, like a flourishing olive tree in the house of God, trust in God's loving kindness forever and ever. I mean, even when you close your eyes and imagine that scenery, this olive tree flourishing in God's house, trusting in God's loving kindness. Here, our brother said this. Psalm 52 may have been written by an old and very aged psalmist. I don't know who wrote it, but possibly someone quite old. Verse 8 that I just read says, I am flourishing in the house of God. I am flourishing in the church, in the church life at my age. Then it says here, he saw himself, this psalmist saw himself as a flourishing olive tree that was growing in the house of Jehovah. Two, we hope that all the elderly saints would have the feeling that although we're aged, we still are flourishing olive trees. Instead of being weakened, we have been planted in the house of Jehovah and are trusting in God's loving kindness forever and ever. Oh, we need more olive trees in the church life. We need every one of us to be an olive tree. Okay. Psalm 92 shows the issue of the deeper experience of God in the saints' identification with Christ in taking God as their dwelling place. So I mentioned already in all these three psalms that are talking about the deeper experiences. That is true, brothers and sisters, as we are in the church life for so long, so many years, we should have grown. We should have grown. We should have matured to some degree. We should have the deeper experiences of Christ. We should, as older saints. In my head, I tell myself, man, you are over 70. In my subconsciousness, I think I am 35. All right? That's without standing in front of the mirror, right? But then I said, no, you're not 35, you're 75. Then I said, okay, 75 and 35. I am not 35. I'm 75. I shouldn't be like a 35. I should be like a 75. I don't mean my gesture or action. You know what I mean, my constitution. Might be. In other words, if between 35 and 75 in those 40 years, I have not learned any spiritual lessons, I have not grown much in Christ, I have not been laid hold of by Christ more, and I have not laid hold of Christ more, I am not more one with God, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. We should have more saints, not just who are physically getting older or spend more years in the church life, but older saints that are actually deeper in their experiences of Christ. Yes, we may become simpler, but deeper. Not so superficial. Not so outward. I tell you, the church life needs brothers and sisters like this. The church desperately need more older and deeper saints to support it, to supply it, to minister Christ, to shepherd the young. We need those who really, really know how to take God as their habitation. All right. So we come now to the final point, Psalm 92, 13 and 14. The righteous man, I read it already, will flourish like the palm tree, olive tree, palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, cedar tree. That's one of my grandson's name, cedar. Planted in the house of Jehovah, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and green. So here we have three kinds of fruits. We have the palm tree, we have the cedar tree, we also have what? The olive tree. You know, trees, brothers and sisters, have significances in the Bible. You know what they signify? Trees signifies Christ's humanity. His humanity. And these trees in Leviticus 23, chapter 40, I believe so. You can go and check. Let me see. Leviticus what? 23:40. Talks about on the first day you will take for yourselves the product of stately trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Jehovah your God for 7 days. So these trees all signify Christ's humanity. The picture is the evergreen, the nourishing, the beautiful, the stately, the rich, the leafy, all different aspects of Christ's humanity being lived out by his overcomers. And this actually is a picture, Leviticus 23, of the millennium, the coming millennium, which we can enjoy today. I hope just some speaking like this will put within us older people a further aspiration in the church life to become trees planted here. Without these trees, even the house of God would not be so beautiful, so stately, so rich. And so what are we doing here? Today we're here to live out this Christ in his humanity all the time. So actually in message 2, which we're not going to get to today for sure, in the next conference, it talks about how old men in the church should be, how old women should be. This is all in Paul's writing, how the older widows should be. And in a very specific and detailed way, all making references to their humanity, to their human virtues, which are all just the virtues of Christ. So what am I saying? I'm saying is today in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, we need many experienced and deeper brothers and sisters who live a life, who live Christ, who live out the Lord's beautiful, fine, perfect, tender and balanced and pure humanity. This is what we need today. And so here with these different kinds of trees, I don't have, again, the time to get into them. So let's just take these three trees mentioned, okay? Specifically mentioned. What's a palm tree? A palm tree is a tree that is like this, right? A tree that, and they use the palm leaves to welcome the Lord, am I right?
Amen.
And so what is the palm tree? The palm tree is a tree that I lost it. Declares the victory. Am I right? The victory of Christ in his resurrection, in his perhaps ascension. That's a palm tree. That's a palm tree. Not defeated, but victorious. I've seen old saints like this. I have. They are just undefeated. They're just victorious. They're overcomers. It's possible. It's possible. What is a cedar tree? A cedar tree is a tree that is good for building, right? Cedar wood, right? Good for building. It's a tree that is transformed and built in material for God's building. What is an olive tree? An olive tree is a tree that produces oil, right? The oil is just a type of the Spirit. And so all these trees are the humanity of Christ in different aspects. In victory, in resurrection, in the Spirit, the olive oil. All what? All displayed, manifested, expressed in their human life, in the humanity. So these trees are all planted in God's house. These trees are all flourishing with the riches of the divine life. And these trees, listen, are bearing fruit in the old age. You know, I hear the testimonies just now of so many dear ones, a lot of them about how the gospel overflows through them. Am I right? To speak the word, to speak the things of the Lord, to have the outflow of Christ even at that age. I'll tell you, dear saints, this is what these trees do. They are just constantly overflowing, constantly testifying, constantly a display and an expression of Christ in his marvelous humanity. To sinners, unbelievers, to saints in the church life, to the young people. You know, young people, like children, they're always looking for patterns. They're always looking for examples. They're always looking for someone they can follow and imitate. Am I right? They learn more from old people, not what they say they do, but from how they live. In other words, dear saints, in the church life, we need more of us, many of us, to live Christ in his humanity as a model, as a pattern for them to imitate. A church without such ones is a church that is bereft. A church that is weak without such testimonies. When I was younger, I did not feel this way. I feel the church should be populated with young people. Then that church will be something else. The more I go on, the more I change. Maybe because I'm getting old, but no. Number one, we need all ages for the Lord's testimony. All right? We need every age, from babes to old men. But especially in this conference, in this kind of sharing, we need such older brothers and sisters. Oh, my, you just think about it. You're walking here, and then there's these palms, and there's these cedars, and there's these olive trees, flourishing, leafy. Don't you feel safe? Don't you feel safe? So, brothers and sisters, this is what I have to say, and let me just finish, and I'm done reading this D there, okay? Two. One issue of our dwelling in God, taking him as everything and our living in his house, is that we are securely planted in his house and flourish in the riches of his divine life to such an extent that we bear fruit in old age. Although I'm an elderly person, I'm more fruitful today than I was years ago. As this verse says, I am still bringing forth fruit in old age, and I'm full of sap and green. I told you, I was shocked when Brother Lee said, stand up. You know, this is the guy who wrote the hymn, right? You remember that? And I told you how comforted and strengthened and encouraged I was. Because that moment, that moment caused me to have an instant replay of my time under Brother Lee's training and perfecting and tutelage and discipling. Just me, speaking very personally. From the 70s to the 80s, I still cannot forget how when my wife and I, we were just married barely 1 year, we migrated from Huntington Beach to the next town called Costa Mesa, and that was the church, first church I raised up. So young, in my 20s, I cannot forget, Brother Lee would just call me. Those are rotary phone days, right? Okay, call me. How are you doing? What have you been doing? Just checking. Then I said, I have to go back to Hong Kong to see my family, parents, and all of this. How long? 10 days. It's a little silence. Then two words came. Too long. That means don't leave the church for so long. You have to stay here to do your work. I cannot forget that. I was 25 or 6, or 6 or 7. All the way until that occasion. How much I have personally benefited from that pattern, from that living of Christ, from that palm tree, cedar tree, and olive tree. I won't be what I am without that. I won't be standing here without that. In turmoil time, there's almost nothing else to look at but that. And that anchors me. In times of wavering, there is the, you know, solidifying effect. The many dealings that I don't share easily with other people under his hand, the many trainings under him, the many exposures by him, the many charges by him personally, and when he was with the co-workers, even the younger co-workers, I needed that as a young person growing up. I told all the trainees last week, in the last night, Saturday night, in the last meeting of the pre-training week, I didn't give them the usual outline. I talked to them about being Timothy's, who had a father, and that was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Timothy was Timothy because of Paul. I am not here claiming I'm Timothy, I'm this or that. Forget about that. I am giving a testimony that without these senior, proper, Christ-living, overcoming saints, I wouldn't be where I am. And actually, to tell you the truth, Brother Lee was not the only person. There were brothers, and I can name them. They're all gone now. And there were sisters who are also gone now. That were my patterns. That at the right moment became my North Star to keep me in the straight and narrow, to encourage when I need, to supply when I need. These trees. So I challenge all of us older brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a Brother Lee. We're just all small potatoes, just a brother, just a sister. But you don't know how much impact you can have on a young believer, on a new believer, for their whole life, for their whole life. And how blessed the church life, a church life is with brothers and sisters like this.